Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go. Packed today. Packed.
Oh, God.
I couldn't even fit in here.
I know. Just no room.
I had to go sideways. Packed house. Bridal Body Shop radio show, 1 o'clock Wednesday in the heart of Gotham. Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, welcome aboard. We're happy to have you. There's plenty of room. Yep. There's a couple of seats to the side. You know, people might not be able to sit
move
together,
it along,
but,
move
you
it
know,
along.
Just don't clog the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Fire hazard. We don't want liability. We don't need issues like that. We have enough problems. Welcome to another hour of our war on obesity.
Informative.
Informative, funny. What else, Lee? Informative, funny. Come on, give me some more.
Sharp.
Okay, come on. A couple more verbs. Go ahead.
I'm trying to think. Don't put me on the spot. I'm very bad at that.
Okay. No. I'm good at that.
Okay, what?
Okay. Electric. Charismatic.
What else?
Let's see. Informative. Groundbreaking. Okay. Unique. Okay. What happened with that?
Oh, boy.
A little bit too much broccoli for you, my friend. There we go. So welcome, newcomers. Our old faithfuls, thank you for joining us again. The Bridal Body Shop show on Blog Talk Radio. And what we do here every week is plain and simple. We give you the skinny, no pun intended.
That was wonderful.
Do you like that? We give you the skinny on everything that is
fitness related
about fitness. And today's show is really not that much different than a show that we had a couple of weeks ago, but it's pretty much fitness fact or fiction. We have a list of fitness myths. I want to say urban legend, but I don't really think it counts as an urban legend. I don't think you could qualify something like this as an urban legend. But kind of how things are built up over the years and suddenly they become facts.
Well, let's face it. I mean, the fitness industry is so crazy because one day you'll hear that this is bad for you, the next day you'll hear that this is good for you. So we don't know which is the truth, you know? So that's where we're going to bust the facts and tell everybody. Is it bust the facts or bust the myths?
Bust the myths. I was with you. That was fine.
Bust the myths.
There you go. And take that peanut butter off the roof of your mouth. Proper intros, once again, is Lori Towers is me. Elite Siegelman is she.
That's me.
Bridal Body Shop is we. And
yeah.
Every week, you know, I find myself getting, I'm trying to think of different ways, Elite, of trying to introduce us and, you know, tell the people who we are. Without, you know, the people that are listening every week probably say it by heart, you know, but the Bridal Body Shop is a fitness company. Basically, Elite and myself designed it about 5 years ago to get brides and grooms in shape for the wedding. And then we realized, you know, it's not just about the wedding day, you know, although that's what we preach to the brides and the grooms. It's just not just about the one day, the picture-perfect moment, the calendar marking. It's not just that. It's about taking this encasement that we have, which is your body, that has to get you through from birth to death, how to make it work as a well-oiled machine. How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do it with fitness and nutrition. That's how we do it. There's no magic bullet. This is how we do it, people. And usually when something goes wrong, it really is our fault, although we're very, very quick to bring somebody else into it and blame them. It's really us. For years of malnutrition, misinformation, This is what causes our bodies to break down. And by break down, not only look unsightly, which is what inclines people to get themselves in shape, but it doesn't work right. You know, you can't walk up a flight of stairs without being winded.
No, you don't feel right.
You can't get up from a seat without making a noise. You can't...
Oh, that's old age also.
No, you know, some people are very uncomfortable.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Their back gets tight, and, you know, and I've heard, you know, 24-year-olds get up and go, ugh. You know, and that to me is just the biggest crime because, you know, 24 years old, what the hell could you have done to your body?
That's so young.
Yeah, that you're making noises when you're getting up out of a seat. So that's what we're about. And, you know, we do this with humor, and we try to not take it, you know, too seriously, but it really is a serious...
Well, yeah, it's health. Always serious, you know?
But you know what, Elite? People don't get it. When it's like your math teacher standing in front of you in high school and giving you, you know, everything very flatly, you don't get it because it's just boring. You don't see your reflection in it. So we add a little humor so if people could laugh, people could actually maybe embrace this a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do. But it's a very serious topic, and we do take it seriously. And we just hope that everybody who is listening, you know, walks away.
Takes it seriously, too.
And walks away with at least one thing that maybe they didn't know, or, you know, Elite, I'll think one thing that'll make their thought process different. You know, maybe nothing that they've learned, maybe just looking at something as well. I never would have thought of that. So that's what we do here at Bridal Body Shop Fitness Radio. Elite, how are you?
I'm great.
Let me not overlook you.
I am. How can you?
Smiling ear to ear. No, I really can't. But smiling ear to ear. What's new with you?
What could be new? Really nothing. Just, you know, same day in, day out. Taking care of ourselves, right?
That's what we do.
We practice what we preach.
And you know something, Elite?
Yes.
We have many a wedding blogger that will be joining our show.
That's pretty exciting.
Isn't it?
Very exciting.
And last week we had, let's hear it for the bloggers. They're worthy of applause. Mm-hmm. We had Kristen Moynihan on with us from,
she was a lot of fun.
Broke Ass Bride. And you know what? She was just, you know, marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
And very, you know, she does a lot of public speaking, but public speaking is different than radio. You know, some people think, well, I'm seeing the people in front of me, so I'm going to be a little bit more nervous. But, you know, when you put somebody on the air, and many people have declined coming on the air with us, not because of our format, because they've never done
like
radio
nervous,
and they got nervous.
They got nervous.
You know? So she was just wonderful and natural, and she will definitely be on with us again. And their company is a good one. But, yeah, in the future we're going to be having a lot of different bloggers in the wedding industry coming on because that's what really, you know, it's a fitness show, but it's the other half of the fitness, the other half of the bridal body shop.
It's the bridal industry, huh?
That's exactly right. That's what we do. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, we straddle two worlds, the wedding industry and the fitness industry. So we got to be fair. We got to play fair.
We do.
And bring them on because they have something to say, and it's important. It's important.
Sure.
But today, Elite.
Yes, I'm excited.
As you know, what we're going to be talking about is, and I'm trying to think of what show it was, because there's so much of this going on that we could actually have five shows on this and really not repeat ourselves once. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be chipping away at all the misinformation that you've had over the years as far as what fitness things are a value truth and what is just really a bunch of...
Is this like the game show that they used to have, Truth or Consequences?
What was the premise of that? Do you know what I used to watch it? And it was Truth or Consequences. I don't know. I know that...
What were the consequences?
I don't know what happened. I think money was taken away. You know, if anybody knows, if anybody is above 40 and knows the rules of that show, give us a call at 347-857-1867 and let us know what the basic format of the show was. I know it was like, it was kind of, if you said, they gave you a statement, and if it was a truth, consequence would have to have been that they took something away from you. Either the money that you've earned, that would make sense.
Yeah. What was that other show with people, oh, man, it was just like somebody pretending to be somebody else.
Oh.
What's the name
Will
of that
the
show?
Will the Real, oh, wait a second. It was like a mystery guest.
Well, it's not a mystery guest because one of them were real.
Now I can't.
Now whose line is it anyway?
You know what? No, because I remember seeing, I was watching something.
Isn't Bill Cullen?
Yes.
The host?
Yes, and it was the person had to stand up.
Yes. Will the Real stand up?
Again, if you know the number, this 347-857-1867, please help us out, because we look like idiots when we both bring up something, we both don't know the answer to it. But
such a block.
Yeah. But that's really it. But yeah, this is kind of
similar.
We're trying to. Well, do you want to do it in a show format, like a truth or false? What do you think?
I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should.
Okay. Then I'm going to.
How about you do the answers? I mean, you do the questions, and I'll try to answer them.
Well, you know something. One of our callers, one of our people that were too shy to call to tell the truth, was the name of that show. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Who was afraid to be on the air? It was to tell the truth. So that's good. So yeah. So that's fine.
Right.
But that was that to tell the truth. Yeah, that was just it. Peggy Cass was always on it. Remember
Yes.
And who else was always on it? Brett Summers was always on it, too.
No, that was Match Game, wasn't it?
No, listen to me, Elite. Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly was, where the caller just said that they're shy, they didn't want to come on the air with us. But that's okay. It's an easy show.
Still get one of those, okay?
Congratulations, caller.
Yes, if you give us your address and your name, we'll send a prize.
I say Jinsu knives. Because if you're that shy, you probably want to kill yourself anyway. So, but thank you. But yeah, Peggy Cass was on that Brett Summers, and Charles Nelson Reilly, they made a career of being on these shows.
Charles Nelson Reilly?
Oh, honey, you know I'm right.
Not on that show. I don't remember him on that
Charles
show.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
I remember him. He was on Match
Listen
Game.
To me. When he wasn't on The Ghost of Mrs. Muir and Fantasy Island, he made a career of these shows and those 60 romp love romances.
Okay. So. Romances? Who the hell romanced him?
He was that the character actor who was just, you know, the friend or someone. You know, it was him or Paul Lynde. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this is what we're
Paul
gonna
Lynde
do.
Or Paul Lynde?
Paul Lynde.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was Paul Lynde.
Well, you never really, but it was L-Y-N-D-E, Paul Lynde.
Oh.
Okay. Celia, you learned something.
Yeah,
new.
I learned something new today.
You learned something new today, and many of our people are probably like, oh my God, I never knew Paul Lynde was with a D.
No, I thought it was with an N.
Twas.
An N.
Twas. Well, for all the people that are listening and are, you know, over 40, I think, right?
It's got to be over 50.
I would say 40 because they still have those shows and reruns. Anyway, this is what we compiled, and we're going to give a shout out to Women's Health and Fitness Magazine because they came up with the 8 of the greatest fitness myths busted. Now, I'm going to have to do this in I guess, I'm going to do this in question form. What do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. True or false, Elite Ziegelman?
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Because you don't look ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Free weights are just for serious exercises. True or false?
Can I go?
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Can you repeat the question?
You know, see, I knew you shouldn't play. I knew this was just, you know, this was the express bus to hell, letting you on this.
Okay.
The question, Elite Ziegelman, was, now I Okay, stop it. Stop it. Are free weights just for serious exercises? True or false?
I'll go. False.
Was somebody else standing up trying to take that question from
yes.
me? Okay. False. Elite.
Yes, yes, right. Yes. I win. What do I win?
A nice hearty handshake.
Oh,
you.
Okay.
And grab your coat on the way out. Many people think that free weights are just for bodybuilders, but including free weight exercises in your training program will add another dimension to your workout and challenge you further. Machines are recommended for beginners, but once you feel comfortable, give the equivalent free weight exercise a go. And this is true. People.
Oh yeah, free weights are more important than any other exercise.
Well, you know what?
Done in the right form, definitely.
Yeah. Free weights require you to work not only the muscle that you're targeting, but also the muscles that stabilize.
Mm-hmm.
See, people forget that. It's not just about the bicep. It's the smaller muscles that will actually work in synergy with that. And these are the stabilizing muscles, and everything becomes activated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when
especially doing
weights.
It right, when you're doing
right.
a free weight exercise, right, it really you really know how the body's working, because you feel the muscle work and you know the biomechanics of how it's working and
right.
how to move the free weight.
Right.
So it's very important, very important.
But you know, and I think when people hear free weights, they automatically have that picture in their heads of that big bulbous weight, and free weights are. And you're laughing.
Only because it's bulbous.
But you
weight.
Know, but you pictured that big barbell or dumbbell.
They come in 1 pound, 2 pounds.
Right, that's exactly right. So women automatically see that and they think, well, that's not where I want to go.
And it ain't going to where you're going to go anyway.
But that's exactly right. But they don't realize that free weights come in different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, and I'm glad that was funny.
Well, go ahead.
But that's really what, even if it's, and I always tell people, even if that's not the entire route you want to go, mix it in somewhere within your workout. Even if it's just 20% of your workout,
mm-hmm.
you will benefit from it. And you know, this is, and I'm quoting this from, again, another shout out to Women's Health and Fitness, because this is, you know, this is not just fluff. They actually can be very scientific. The movements you make during free weight exercises more closely match the ones you'd make every day. And I always say there's more control
mm-hmm.
with free weights than there ever will
Definitely.
Be with Nautilus or anything else.
There's
okay.
only one plane in the Nautilus.
That's exactly right. When you perform these actions, your muscles are constantly working to stabilize the movement. But when you exercise on a machine, the machine keeps you stable. See,
mm-hmm.
people don't realize that. And having a strong stabilization to muscles reduces your risk of injury. See, people, now think about this. When Nautilus was developed, it was for safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It was for safety because they figured, just like with a Smith machine, you know, you're going heavy on a squat or a bench press, you could just
really
turn it
saying.
Back. You
yeah.
could just turn it back and it's your spotter when you
exactly.
don't have a spotter. So these were the things that were designed for people that were afraid to get hurt. The bottom line is, if you're not using a weight that is far beyond what you can reasonably do, you're really not going to get hurt. It's the people that really overdo it, that aren't prepared for the movement, and figure, well, you know, I'm going to bench press 200, and you've never even bench pressed 80. Don't do it.
I see that every day.
Right? I mean, it's silly. And these
mm-hmm.
are the people that get hurt. And this is why, and Nautilus is fine. I'm not knocking Nautilus.
Not only do they, I mean, they could get hurt, they also not even doing the exercise properly.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're thinking with their ego before they think with what they're pushing.
But you know something? And I know when, if I'm doing anything seated, even if I'm doing like barbell curls seated, the stabilizing muscles that are coming into affect my abdominal walls, and
mm-hmm.
people don't realize, this is just a great thing to do, is allow your core to stabilize your body during the movement. Number one, you're doing the movement clean. So you're getting the worst thing that you can do is when you're working out is swinging or rushing it, because you're using another body part to assist.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already cutting the efficiency of that workout in half. So, but if you're sitting there and you're using your core to stabilize you, you're getting a stricter form, and you know what? Your abdominal wall is doing its job, which is, you know, your abdominal wall is supposed to be active during the day, you know?
Well, it basically comes into play in a lot of exercises, but people don't realize that.
Exactly. But the thing is, if you isolate and really and just try to keep the form
That's
strict,
the key word, isolation.
People don't realize that. It's, you know, and visualization when you work out, and people probably are saying, well, you know what, I don't want to have to do this. It's more work than I want. It really, really isn't.
I mean, if you're going to work out, work out.
But if you are working your bicep, for example, and you visualize it, or you look in a mirror and you're watching
yourself mind
work,
to muscle.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's how it's always stated, mind to muscle. If you put your mind there and you make that muscle work, it works 100% more.
I agree. And that's what people see, visualization, and you know, and a lot of meditation too. It's just like you just visualize.
It is. It's in the brain.
And you know, it's funny because there are a lot of cancer treatments in Europe that incorporate visualization. You go in every day and you know, you visualize the tumor or whatever it is getting smaller
mm-hmm.
and smaller and smaller. And you know something? It has been proven effective as the chemotherapy that was given adjunctively.
Right.
So there's something to this. I'm not saying it's the answer across the board, but there is something to this that, you know, that the visualization actually having your mind become a prime player.
So visualization. Visualization. Or is it mind over... What's that word?
Matter.
It's not, well,
but it,
do
but
you
it
see
is.
It or do you think it?
But now, see.
That's the thing. There's two different, you know, sight and sound.
This
two different
is,
things.
This is where, and you and I have had this discussion on the use of placebo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the one hand, I always say, well, placebo is just, you know, you're fooling somebody. But if the body reacts to it, if
the same as it, the real
exactly,
thing,
then it did work. So, you know, and I remember years ago.
But that's
ago,
not visualization.
No, but it's definitely.
There's another word for it.
It becomes a psychogenic property. It becomes something that.
Yeah, I like that better.
Okay. Well, that's why
it has
I use
to
it.
Do right. It has to do with the mind,
but
not with the eyes. Because when your eyes see something, it's different than when the mind thinks it.
But you know, and this is the principle of placebo. Because I remember my grandmother used to say, when I had a headache when I was small, she would put a penny
mm-hmm.
on my forehead,
right?
And she would say, "That's going to make your headache go away." Now, did it? Yes. But was it the copper in the penny? Was
no,
it the copper
I
the penny?
Think it was just your grandmother doing it.
It. You know, it could have been, you know, somebody nurturing you and you wanted
right.
to feel better and you felt better just having somebody. Or it was your own body trying to. And that's why there's, and this could be a totally different show, there are thousands upon thousands, if not millions of dollars, that can be made with placebo,
mm-hmm.
ear candling, and all that stuff.
So that's what we'll do next week, if you ask
Is
me.
That what you want? Okay. That's
easy
that's
enough.
Fine. Easy enough. But that's exactly
no,
it.
No, it's true.
So this is where, you know, the hordes of charlatans come in, because if you give somebody something and say, you know, this is really going to do it, yeah, it possibly can be the cream that you gave them,
mm-hmm.
or it's their willingness to want
to just
respond
heal.
To it.
Mm-hmm.
To
just
respond.
Heal.
And this is why snake oil salesmen did so
yeah.
so well in, you know, in the early centuries. You know, it's just like, you know, I got the thing for you.
It really is mind over matter.
You know, there's I'm a big fan of The Twilight Zone, and as you know, and there is one episode where there is this one guy who comes to town and he makes hundreds upon hundreds in those days of dollars off of this something that would resurrect their loved ones from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are pouring out this money because, you know, and I'm not going to give away the ending, but this is what happened, you know, in early times. You had this one person who came into town who had the answer to this and this
yeah.
and that, and this is going to cure your child. And it was just,
yeah.
you know, the willingness and the resilience of the human spirit to want to rise to the occasion and feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So that was
number one?
That was number one again. Now we're here. You ready? Okay? Oh, but this is so easy, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Okay.
True or false, Elite Ziegelman, lifting weights will... Oh. You know something?
If you know, these people need to call in because they're too shy.
Okay. Lifting weights will cause me to bulk up.
Pick me.
The lady in the red.
I'm not wearing
red.
Go
ahead. Go right ahead.
What was the question again? No. It's false.
Okay. Women have much lower testosterone levels than men, which prevents them from developing large, bulky muscles. Even regular strength training, listen, ladies, will not give them the figure of a female
absolutely
bodybuilder.
Absolutely not. No.
It's physically possible for a woman to bulk up, but only as a result of a sustained period of very high-intensity weight training and strict diet nutrition,
mm-hmm.
sodium depletion, all of that. It is certainly not achieved by weekly weights and sessions at the gym.
First of all, it's just so funny. When I was younger, I was a little more naive than I am now about, you know, working out and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I always knew that the women, these women bodybuilders, they had, I mean, you always want to, I mean, I didn't want to look exactly like them, especially in the face area.
Right.
If you saw their faces, they
oh, yeah.
all look exactly the same.
The prominent jaw.
That's
yeah.
terrible. And
yeah.
you always knew who was on steroids and who wasn't because they all looked exactly the same. And you can't copy what they have because that's just all juiced up.
Well, you know something, Elite. I'm glad you bring that up.
Thank you.
My old training partner.
Yes.
Toni Petersen,
mm-hmm.
I know she listens to the show every week because she wrote me, so she's probably listening now and giving a shout-out to her. I haven't seen her in 20 years, 25 years. But we both knew somebody who swore, and Toni knows who I'm talking about, up, down, sideways, was never juicing.
Mm-hmm.
And she still is, I'm sure she's still with us. She was 4'10" and 150 pounds of solid muscle.
Get out of here.
And she, I mean, it just, she basically looked like a fire hydrant. And for all intents and purposes, this was a very small scale sex change because she looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just, there's just no way of that happening. And again, the prominent jaw, the sunken in cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
The acne on the back. I mean,
it's
just
it's
all
a terrible look.
And terrible look.
Not the muscles.
No.
But the face. I mean, after a while, you could just tell it was just, you know, too full.
4'9",
yeah.
carrying that amount of muscle.
That short
no.
together.
No. And I remember a couple of times walking down the street with her, and people were just, like, looking at her like she was a freak. Now, granted, this was, like, 1987. It wasn't as cool as it is now. But for that height...
Oh, it's horrible.
There was no body... Believe me, there was
terrible.
No body fat on her.
It doesn't matter.
But
it just doesn't look right.
You're talking about 150 pounds of solid muscle that on that frame. That's not... That to me... Again, you know, there's always been this controversy in Ms. Olympia. Is it a muscle contest or is it a beauty contest?
Yeah.
It's a muscle contest.
It's not really a beauty contest because they all look exactly the same.
Right, but you know, it where do we define too much muscle on women if it's a muscle contest?
Well, it depends how much they're juicing.
Well, and that's it. And
that's where we come to the question.
And that was the look that she had.
No, we can't build that much muscle.
And there's no way that was not, what's a nice way of saying it? This is how they say it in the sports field. There's no way that wasn't enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the, kind of the code
exactly.
of, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, we know what was going on. Okay. Number three, Elite Ziegelman. Get ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
What are you doing? This is just like, you know, you've gotten everyone so far.
I know.
Okay. Number three is spot reducing is possible. Go
Did
ahead,
you
my
pick
lady.
Me?
Go ahead, my lady. Go.
No. False.
There we go. It's true.
False. No, it's false.
Of course it's false.
Okay.
It's true that you said that. Now, see, for people that are watching all those midnight infomercials,
Yeah.
When they have the
we got the Thighmaster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We got the ab roller. We have, what else was there? There was so many different
Everything.
Things. The chin thing. Oh my God! It was so many different ones. There's no such thing as spot reducing.
Well, that's exactly right. And this is what our friends say at Women's Health. It's simply not possible to burn off fat in one specific area. By exercising that part of the body, excess fat tends to be stored around the waist, stomach, and hips. Frustrating as it may be during weight loss, these are often the last places you become slim.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to reduce these stores of fat is through regular and deliberate aerobic and resistance exercise combined with a healthy diet. Come on.
That's
see,
it.
And this is
that's
where.
That's the, I think that's the biggest misconception out there right now. It has been.
But you know something, Elite? And our little phrase has actually been in a few different articles. You can't out-train a bad diet.
No.
And it is true.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that go out and throw caution to the wind and just eat anything they want and think, because I'm working out, I can do this now. You can if
impossible.
You're genetically gifted,
right.
But most of us aren't. So you do have to be mindful of your diet and what you're putting into your body. And
yep.
For crying out loud, why wouldn't you be?
Especially if you're spending so much time in the gym working out.
And you know something, Lee, as you know, people who spend, when they tell me they spend 3 hours in the gym, I know that you are lagging 2.5 hours.
Why, though? Why?
Because
why? Why?
Talking. Because they're talking and they're kibitzing and they're doing everything but what they're supposed to be doing in the gym. So all of you who are calling in and saying...
But, you know, there are people, and I know somebody that's in the gym for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they overdo their cardio.
Right.
Okay, they really basically overdo the cardio, which is just so stupid, because what you're doing after a while, you're just burning the muscle that you that you're working out for.
Yep.
So just do your 30 minutes, 45 minutes the most, unless you're just doing cardio that day and you don't want to work out with weights,
story.
You know?
That's a totally different story.
But I've seen people that they just overdo it every day in the gym. And especially the newcomers, because what they do at the end is they burn themselves out and they never visit the gym again.
Yes, because you get hurt, and then you blame the gym.
Yeah.
See, that's,
well,
that's
that,
what
or
happens.
They just they don't want it anymore.
Well, you know, usually it's like with the excuses, and we've heard this. You know, I did that, and you know what? I really my body type isn't good for this. And
it's not even that. It didn't do anything for me.
Right.
It didn't
know,
do anything.
After
you did
a week.
It for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Number four. No pain, no gain.
Wait. False.
Do you need a lifeline with that, Lee?
Did I win?
Exercising to the point, yes, you did.
Okay.
Exercising to the point of pain can do more harm than good. It is normal to expect a little soreness, post-activity soreness, after trying something new or upon returning to the exercise after a significant break. Don't ignore pain. It's an indication that something is wrong. If something hurts, try lowering the intensity. If the pain persists, then stop completely. See, this is what I tell people. There's a normal amount of post-activity soreness
mm-hmm.
that is appropriate. But if you're feeling intense localized pain, heat...
So annihilated that you
cold,
can't move.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Heat, numbness, that's never a feature of anything post-activity. So you really have to look over your workout and carefully calculate what you did and what you didn't do so that the next time could be a little bit safer, because that's actually not supposed to be a feature of working out. And if it is, reevaluate your
form. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, you did certainly did something wrong. Okay. Number five. See, these are kind of easy. Okay, I don't like this because I want to stump you.
Oh, boy.
I want to stump you. Okay. Number five, you need to work out every day if you want to see... I didn't see. No, you know, wait a second.
Oh, but I knew the answer.
I don't
okay,
care.
Okay, go ahead.
Now I'm now hurt and confused.
No, if okay. you need to see results, right?
I don't know if that's what I wanted to
well,
say.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
go
let
ahead.
Me do that again. You need to work out every day if you want to see.
I know the answer.
You don't know what the
oh, okay. All right, this time I'll let you go.
Number six, running on the treadmill is like running outside. False.
Okay.
The treadmill is certainly. What is that? What was
my
that?
My time is up.
What was that? It sounded like something, a little bug dying or something. What was that? Okay. Now, running on the treadmill is certainly a more pleasant alternative to pounding the pavement, especially when the conditions outside are less than inviting. Besides, it's easier to monitor your speed and your chart progress on the treadmill. And running is running, isn't it? Wrong.
No.
The major difference between the two is that on the treadmill, you are stationary and the belt is moving, while outside the ground is stationary and you are moving. Treadmill causes you to push straight up with each stride, whereas running outdoors requires you to push up and forward. Now,
well, women, you know, that I'm going to argue a little with that. With the treadmill, there is an incline. You can do it, you know, up and above, you know. You can incline it. No?
Do you think women's health and fitness is ready for me? Because I got something to say.
Something about that, huh?
Oh. Listen to me, women's health and fitness.
If you only saw her face. Okay.
If you knew the amount of running injuries that I see on a weekly
basis. You tell
basis,
them, sister. You tell them.
Let alone a year. You would be noble enough and certainly educated enough to be wooing the people into another camp of cardio, which would not be running at all. And running on a treadmill certainly is a lot easier on the joints because the rubber is absorbing
mm-hmm,
the impact
mm-hmm.
than running outdoors. We are a bipedal species, and in that, most people understand that running on two joints with weight being distributed just in two ways is very unlike our animal friends who run with four components
four legs.
Being able to absorb most of the insult. So women's health and fitness, by telling people to run outside as a more effective way of working out, you're hurting them. Okay, and you know what? I'm happy to see them with their injured backs and their injured knees and ankles, but that's really all you're doing.
That's right.
So steering people back on the treadmill, regardless of the effectiveness of the workout, I think would be the best thing that you can do. If you have a problem, certainly email us at thebridalbodyshop@aol.com.
So
I think that's
us.
Them. Call David Ginsburg, my attorney, and he will definitely pick up the phone or not. Give us a call, 212-460-1879. But that's our opinion. It's just our opinion. We are entitled to our opinion.
That's right.
As per my attorneys, we can say what we want. But that's honestly what you should be doing. Running, although people that run are going to run. It's a very
Runners will run no
you know,
matter what.
And it's a very convenient form of exercise and cardio. You can do it.
And you know, funny runners. If you're really a runner, they'd rather choose the indoors
right.
because it is easier on their joints.
Mm-hmm.
And second is because, and you'll see they'll fight for the same treadmill every day because they're so used to that treadmill.
Yeah. So. Well, you know something, my brother has bad knees, and he's had bad knees since, oh my God, he's probably 16. And he had a business trip to Ireland, and any time he goes there, he says he runs along the countryside because it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. But the bottom line is it's insult to the joints.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the marathon coming up and my business gets a lot of people pre-marathon, it's just a matter of what we do is, and we're very honest with the runners coming in. And I've been quoted this comment, the only time we should be running is running for our lives or after our purses.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only time we should be running. If you want to run, you should know the consequences. And I don't know of anybody, even those people that win every year, don't think that their bodies haven't absorbed the consequences of that or will in years
to
come.
I'm sure.
It's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be your back. It's going to be your knees. It's going to be your ankles. It's going to be something. So now, granted, with the purse that you get from the New York Marathon, I think it's $1 million or something like that, you could afford yourself the best.
Is that what they get, $1 million?
Yeah. You could afford yourself probably the best medical minds around you and the best medical team.
Especially after that.
Right. So, you know, that's fine. But the truth is, long-term, we are not built to run. So try to tell people if they're going to run, run on the treadmill or run on sand. That's the best thing that you could do, women's health and fitness. And that's the expressed opinion of the Bridal Body Shop. And you're going to stand by it. Right? What do you think, Elite?
I believe
you. Standing by me with that? Okay, good. Okay. Next. Oh, interesting enough. This number 7. This
Ooh.
Is interesting. Okay. Drinking water during exercise will give you cramps.
False.
There you go. Consuming large amounts of water immediately before an exercise will certainly leave you feeling bloated and sluggish. Drinking water during exercise can actually...
Sluggish?
Yeah. If you drink a lot of water.
Since when does drinking a lot of water make you feel sluggish?
You can feel bloated and late.
Bloated is a different story, but not sluggish.
Some people can
I never heard of anybody feeling bloated from drinking water. I'm retaining water.
I have heard people say they felt sluggish.
They're wrong.
I've heard that. And drinking water.
Sluggish.
Yeah. Drinking water during exercise can actually prevent cramps. You should drink before, during, and after, which is something I always say.
Always.
To prevent dehydration.
Yep.
Failure to do so can lead to headaches, fatigue, dizziness, cramps, and reduces your capacity to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, it's funny because people don't realize in the summer and in the winter, when you start feeling thirsty, you have already
been partially dehydrated.
Yes. So it's just, it's already, you
too
just
late.
Feel it. You're feeling the symptoms of it. So,
or having something salty, that's a different story.
Yeah. Okay. 8. Thank you. Okay. 8. It's best to exercise early morning on an empty stomach. See, these are easy.
Well, you know what? That's. I mean, I'm going to say that's false, but I do that. I can't work out with food in my stomach.
But, I mean, a little something, like a banana or something.
I never exercise on
a full meal, but I have something to get the blood sugar up a little bit.
I mean, I've had a banana before and stuff like that, but basically, you know, don't take it from me. It's just me. I've done it for years. I've been worked out with an empty stomach. That's the only way I work out.
Yeah, I always have a little something. Not a meal, but a little something.
I mean, yeah, I've had a banana in the past and stuff like that. I've had an apple. But I'm not saying that I do it the right way.
Okay. This is their answer. In short, there is no universal time to exercise. The best time is the time that most appeals to you and fits your schedule. Everyone is different. So some like to jumpstart their day with a workout in the morning, while others swear that exercise at the end of the day is a great way to energize. I agree with that, and eliminate stress. If you are skipping breakfast because you've heard it forces the body to use stored fats, listen up. Exercising on an empty stomach does not affect weight loss, and it may even hinder your ability to exercise at a high intensity. If you don't have the energy to exercise, you won't be able to give 100% effort, and your progress will be slowed down. If you're an early morning exerciser, at least drink a glass of juice before working up your sweat. Elite, are you taking notes?
I am. And, you know, again, it's up to the individual on that. It really is. Like you say, you like to work out at the end of the day. You like to do your cardio at midnight. So it's just everybody...
No, I'm not doing cardio at midnight. Now, wait a second.
What are you doing now? I'm doing cardio. It's 9 o'clock at night. So it's just everybody's different. Everybody's different. So I don't, you know, it's funny because if I eat really bad the night before and I go to work out the next day, I feel like garbage. If I tell you, I really feel like garbage because I have all that stuff in me. Mm. I hate to say the S word, but it's just stuff, in other words.
You can say stuff on the air. We're PG.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm not meaning stuff. I'm meaning the other word. But I can't see myself eating anything before I work out when I have all that stuff in me. So I just go there and hopefully I'll just burn it out and feel better afterwards, and I usually do.
Yeah, you know something, Lee? You know what I'm going to do?
Matt.
I'm switching things up, and we're going to go to our friends at WebMD.
Oh.
And they have something. You know, and I like this because it's a little bit more diverse than, you know, nothing disparaging about women's health fitness.
No, of course not.
This is a little different, and I like it. Okay, and this is what they have compiled. We're going to give you at least three of their top nine fitness myths busted.
Ooh.
And it says, you think you know the facts about getting fit. You may be surprised to learn how many are really fiction. And I like that. Okay, now, fitness myth number three is, I'm wondering where number one, okay, we're working.
That's what
down.
I was wearing.
Where
is number one? They start three.
I don't know why they did that, but this is what we're going to do.
Give me number three.
Okay, I'm going to give you number three. An aerobic workout will boost your metabolism for hours after you stopped working out.
An aerobic?
Yeah, anaerobic.
That's cool.
Anaerobic exercise.
Oh,
not an anaerobic. Anaerobic exercise.
Anaerobic.
Yeah.
True.
There you go. Let's get...
Oops.
Oops. You're confused. We lost half the audience. I see too many seats. This statement, contrary to the lovely Elise Ziegelman getting all the wrong cues, is actually true. But the a little late in the game, my friend. But the caloric burn is not nearly as much as you think. While your metabolism will continue to burn at a slightly higher rate after you finish an aerobic workout, the amount is not significant. In fact, it allows you to burn only 20 extra calories for the day. Yes, average. That's the only thing it's giving you. The allowance of burning 20, that's all you're burning, Elite.
This is aerobic.
Yes.
And anaerobic, I heard that if you build like, a pound of muscle a year or something, your calories,
course,
you can burn
absolutely
250 extra calories
at
rest.
Weight.
Yeah.
While there's a little bit more of a metabolic boost after strength training, it's still only marginal. It doesn't really count towards aerobic, your caloric burn. That's interesting.
Is it that true?
As you would say, that's something different.
It is something different.
Okay,
but
I got another one for you.
I think that's a myth, and it's not even a myth.
We're going to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
now.
I don't believe that.
Fitness myth number four.
Uh-oh.
Swimming is a great weight loss activity. Oh,
geez. False.
There you go. While swimming is great for...
I like these buttons.
While swimming is great for increasing lung capacity, toning muscle, and even helping burning off excess tension, the surprising truth is unless you're swimming for hours a day...
That's the lowest impact of cardio.
It may not allow you to lose too much weight.
No.
Because the buoyancy of water is supporting your body, you're not working as hard. And people.
It's great for people who have arthritis.
I love it because it's joint friendly.
Yes.
The water is supporting those joints. But you're moving at your own stream, like you do when you run. So it's really not.
And if there's a lot of old folks in the water, you can't go anywhere.
Right. Well, that's. You know, what are you going to do? You got to go.
You can't go anywhere.
You can't go around there because they're moving at their own.
Right. Exactly. Usually they're just floating.
Well, then you could move around them.
Yeah.
If they're floating. They're not moving fast.
You're moving towards them, and that's when they decide to move, and you crash, and you burn, and forget it. A big swim cap comes off their head, and they cry.
It's a mess.
It is.
Now, I'm going to say this, and at the end of the show, I'm going to give a shout-out to a friend of mine.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to say it anyway, because that's the way I am. Okay, fitness myth number five. Sorry, Gwen. Yoga can help with a lot of back pain.
Can help?
Can help.
False!
Now, the truth is yoga can help with back pain, but it's not equally good for all types. This is what I've always said. If your back pain is muscle-related, then yes, yoga can help with some stretches. It can also help build a stronger core. But if your back am I keeping you away to leave? Okay. But if your back problems are related to other problems, such as ruptured disc,
right,
it is not likely to help. What's more, it could actually irritate the injury and cause you more pain. If you do have back pain, get your doctor's okay before starting any type of exercise program.
Yeah, of course.
Especially yoga. You know, nothing.
No.
We don't mean to hurt the yoga therapists out there, and although I've argued many times.
Well, you know, they just said yoga. You know, it could be any kind of exercise in general if you had a back problem, don't you think? That you would have to get a doctor's note.
I think you should. If you have any type of pre-existing
ground, right?
Yeah, you should ask.
Definitely.
Because it just makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, exactly. I mean, I always tell people, you don't have to stop working out. You just modify it.
Yes, of
course.
Substitute
something for something else. That's really it. Okay, fitness myth number 6. If you're not working up a sweat, you're not working out hard enough.
I never sweat, so I know
that's
a myth.
Just you. You don't sweat in the summer, so we can't use you as
saying.
An example. What's your answer, Lisa?
False.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, go ahead, Elite. One more time. What's your answer, Elite?
False. Right? Am I right?
Yeah. Darling, where's the button?
Don't even think. You see what happens? Do you see what happens?
Ding, 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 ding.
There you go.
Madonna mia. Ugh. Sweating is not necessarily an indicator of exertion.
No.
Sweating is your body's way of cooling itself.
That's all it is.
It is possible to burn a significant number of calories without breaking a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
Try walking or doing some lightweight training. And that, you know, that...
I know people that just profusely just sweat at just walking a block, not even a block, a step.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I know people like myself that don't even sweat. I mean, I don't break a sweat until at least 45 minutes on a cardio machine.
Well, I agree. And, you know, and that's why I always say there's no cookie cutter.
No, everybody's different.
Everybody is, and that's what people have to consider when they're
right.
Looking at diets, when they're looking at a workout program. What worked for your friend or your aunt or your
may
father
not work
is
for
not
you.
Not going to work for you.
Nope.
Based on lifestyle. Based on
genetics,
predisposition,
everything.
Based on gender,
mm-hmm.
It's not going. So don't look to your friend and say, well,
that's
you know,
that's why they say don't take anybody else's antibiotics or drugs,
and
because it's
yes.
not fit for your body.
Right. So look at it that way. Just because it's working for your friend doesn't mean you're going to drop 7 pounds or feel better or whatever.
Nope.
That's just the way it is. But I do want to give a shout-out because we mentioned yoga. And I want to mention the lovely Gwen Laster. She was on the show, what,
a couple of times.
Two, 3 times. Wonderful, wonderful musician. In fact, I think that she's going to be playing Carnegie Hall in a couple of weeks. But what I want to give a shout-out to is her Sound Healing Yoga Workshop. And she's in Cold Spring. You know where Cold Spring is. I've never gone there with you, but it's in the Hudson Valley. And it's very scenic and it's very beautiful. We should go there one day. And it's Sound Healing Yoga Workshop. And what the beautiful thing about this is, it doesn't only incorporate yoga, it's sound healing, which is, and you have a bunch of amazing musicians, Gwen included in this, and I'm just going to name a few. You have Gwen Laster on violin. You have Helen Ellenbogen, and you have Leroy Hankins. And you have all these people on stringed instruments, singing bowls, chanting and drumming. It just, all of this stuff allows you to feel physically and spiritually stimulated through the energy of sound healing. It's pretty potent thing, and it happens in Cold Spring, New York. And it's Sky Baby's Yoga Studio, and it's 75 Main Street, Cold Spring, New York. And it's just two blocks from Metro North Station, for anybody who's familiar with that. And it's going to be on Saturday, October 18th, from 4 to 6, which is actually, that's a pretty long,
yeah,
that's a pretty long time.
Sounds interesting, though.
4 to 6. Well, Gwen is an absolutely amazing musician, and I think that she just found a way to bring together two of her passions. And, you know, I've known Gwen quite a few years now, and she's an amazing musician, but also the entire time I've known her, she's loved yoga. I mean, she has just been amazing. So it's she's just been so involved in this, and this has been such a big thing in her life, and she's found a way to just bring together two worlds, and I think it's great. So she'll definitely, you know, go up and see her. You won't be disappointed.
I think a lot of people are going to go up there.
I think so. It's Sound Healing Yoga Workshop. And again, it is 75 Main Street, Cold Spring, New York, and it's at Sky Baby Yoga Studio. And it just, you know, have a drink, have dinner in Cold Spring. It's just really, it's a really cute little town. Really a cute little, like a little postage stamp town. Really cute. It's maybe half a mile totally.
Sounds nice.
So say hello to them at Sky Baby Yoga Studio. And I think that is...
That wraps it up, no?
I think so. Do you have anything to add, Lee?
I think we pretty, you know, gave everybody pretty much a lot of info, don't you think?
I think so. I think
yeah.
We packed whatever we can into an hour.
Definitely.
And I think it's you know...
Hopefully, you know, people aren't, you know, misinformed now and understand the myths and the facts.
And you know, Lee, I think that if anybody has any further questions, you know where they can reach us.
I think so.
Let's give our email at AOL.com. You could like us on Facebook, and if you haven't, please do the Bridal Body Shop on Facebook. You could Twitter us, Bridal Body Shop, and you could visit our website,
the Bridal Body Shop
at AOL.com. And we love hearing, you know, it's not like we get all rave reviews. We get people that don't understand things, people that have questioned, people that, you know, don't like something that
we said.
We take
those too.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're happy to hear that. So it just, you know what it means, Elite? It means they're involved.
That's it. And you have to be involved.
And that's what we want. We want
mm-hmm.
you to be involved, and we want to hear the good stuff. We want to hear the bad stuff so we know you're listening to us. So I think that wraps it up.
I think so.
Unless you have something else to say, my friend.
I think I said mostly what I wanted.
Did you?
I don't
Did
think
you
I,
really get everything off your chest?
I don't think I left anything back.
Then I'm happy. That's usually the sound. But we will see you next time. Same time next week. And we hope you go out and make everything we said today make sense to you and fit into your life in some sort of seamless way. However it fits with you, just let it fit and just embrace it, make it a part of your life. And
make it count.
I'd like to thank my lovely co-host.
Well, thank you.
Elise Ziegelman. For manning the soundboard. Creating banter. I don't know what the baby was, but...
Creating banter.
So thank you, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And we will say goodbye until next week, and we hope that you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Take us home, Elite.
Ooh.
Did it?